What's up, baddie bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club.
And so for me, that's the mission behind it is, everyone always jumps to, how do we help kids? I stop at, what do we give teachers to help kids? So I stop back at, let's start with teachers having the right tools and resources, and then that's how you help kids.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we are joined by Lisa Cullum, who is an innovative educator and entrepreneur transforming the teaching landscape with her top score writing curriculum. She is a testament to the power of strategic thinking and dedication in education. And today, we're going to be talking about innovations in education, bridging the gap between traditional methods and modern needs. So Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I found you when I was TikTok scrolling, and I saw some TikTok from yours about the top score writing curriculum. And I was like, I need this woman on my podcast, and we need to talk about this. I thought it was so fascinating. So before we dive into it, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I'm Lisa Cullum. I'm first a mom of four. I've got four kids from teenagers down to 7 years old. And I'm the owner and author of Top Score Writing. So Top Score Writing is a nationwide curriculum company. So I write curriculum that schools and parents buy to teach kids how to write essays and research papers. So in like a curriculum kit, they can find all the lessons, activities, everything they need for the whole year to teach writing. And then I also own a nonprofit school in my community. It's a middle and high school for kids that struggle in school and just need something different. So that's Coastal Middle and High School.
And what motivated you to step in the whole realm of educational innovation or like education in general?
So believe it or not, from the moment I was about 5 years old, my mom tells stories of me teaching stuffed animals in my bedroom. So from a very young age, I was playing school, teaching. I know it may sound weird, but there was just never a doubt, never a question. Anyone asked me from the time I was in kindergarten up, what do you want to be when you grow up? Teacher, easy. So everyone kind of knew that. So when I became a teacher, it was literally my dream and my, you know, childhood goal. So it was pretty exciting for me.
And then while you were teaching, when did you start to notice these like gaps in traditional teaching methods?
So right away, my first year of teaching, kind of what started to make me realize that there were gaps in our education, what our kids need, and also gaps in what teachers are provided is they put me in charge of fourth grade writing and told me there was no curriculum dedicated to writing. There was reading that had writing kind of sprinkled in it, but I was kind of left on my own, told that, you know, these kids were low performing, had to pass this test with really nothing. And right away I noticed, okay, that's an issue as a teacher. That's also an issue for these students. So that's really the beginning of it all from that very first year, first month of getting into my dream job where I realized there's some missing pieces here.
And so what, like, how did you decide to start taking action, or what did you do to start addressing these gaps? Especially it's like dream job you started and you're like, wow, this is not what I thought. Like, what made you actually start making change?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, here I am thinking, oh, I've made it. I've got my dream job. I'm super excited. I want to like do the very best I can. And I'm thrown into the situation without curriculum. I ended up, my first year teaching was at the lowest Title I low performing school in my entire district. So I was working with students that were English language learners, were ESC with some sort of learning disability and below grade level. And I was given no curriculum. So I kind of went into like fight or flight mode as a teacher, knowing I wanted to do my best, going in with this belief of, you know, every kid can be successful. And I was not going to let anyone or anything stop that. And so my mind just went into this click of, I'm just going to go back to basics. I'm going to go back to how I learned to write. I knew from all my just teaching in general, because I used to substitute teach during college. I knew from my college research papers, I knew that simple things like repetition and practice worked. These strategies, these old school ways of teaching worked. And so instead of approaching it as we're going to write a whole essay, I broke down the essay into little pieces and then taught those through repetition and practice. And right away, I started seeing these kids that were below grade level in reading, these kids that were struggling with disabilities, these kids that were speaking, you know, learning English as a new language, getting it. And so I just kept going forward with that strategy and way of teaching. And it worked. I mean, the first year we went from 38% proficiency to 95% proficiency just in that first year.
Wow. So really it's making it easier to digest versus, because like full disclosure, I have dyslexia and dysgraphia. And so writing for me, oh my God, it was like hot sweat anxiety in school. And I'll say, like, I think the reason why it was so overwhelming, well, and I have ADHD, but the reason why it was so overwhelming was because it was this giant thing of like, you're going to write a 3-page thing. And I'm like, huh?
That's it.
And so the whole ideology behind top score writing is easier to digest, simplifying the process and like breaking down your task into subtasks so you can get that reward. Is that right?
That is exactly it. And, you know, kind of the whole world kind of has shifted into making things look bigger and fancier. And I'm just like, let's go back to what works with kids. Like, let's think about the kid. I don't care about fancy. We need to approach this in the right way. And just what you said, that's overwhelming thinking you're going to write this big old paper. But if I break it down to pieces, you don't even know that you're working on a paper.
Yeah, it's really interesting because like I have 4 kids as well. I have 3 kids that are in school right now and then one that's in Mother's Day Out program. But the 3 kids, getting everyone out the door for all of them felt very overwhelming to get up at 6:50 and get out the door by 7:25. And because they were like, get out the door. In order to get out the door, look at all of these things that have to happen. And they were super overwhelmed. And we started doing like a checklist where we're like, hey, let's break it down to 10 easy things. And man, did it just change their whole perception of things, because they were like, go downstairs, check. Like that felt good. I got to cross something off. So do you feel, and I think, you know, for me, they're 6, 8, and 9. So I'm like, that was a no-brainer. But when you get to the 9-year-old, because he's in 4th grade, their assignments and their tasks become more overwhelming. And like you said, it's like bigger picture.
It's March, and in Austin, Texas, it is time for all of the terrible cedar pollination. And I recently had this eye-opening moment with my air doctor purifier. Because of all of the pollen and dust and dirt from nearby construction, I looked at the filters and boy, was I shocked. The amount of stuff it had filtered out from our indoor air was astonishing. It really got me thinking about the air we breathe every day. Did you know that we spend 90% of our time indoors? And according to the EPA, our indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, sometimes even 100 times more. That is so concerning, especially considering nearly half of the population lives in areas with unhealthy air quality. The WHO even reports that air pollution contributes to nearly 7 million premature deaths worldwide each year. We take around 20,000 breaths per day, breathing in almost 3,000 gallons of air that could be filled with allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and even mold. So how do we combat this invisible threat? The solution is Air Doctor, an air purifier that's been making headlines in CNN, Money, ABC, and more. Air Doctor isn't just any air purifier. It uses an ultra HEPA filter independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses. Their classic Air Doctor 3000 model is a powerhouse, circling air in 630 plus square feet room 4 times every hour. And it does this quietly thanks to its whisper jet fans, which are 30% quieter than ordinary air purifier. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head over to airdoctorpro.com, AirDoctorPro.com. And use my promo code BBB. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers, exclusive to you. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code BBB and start to breathe easier. Do you think that in this modern day where everything is just like this instant gratification, TikTok scroll, like feel good, Amazon at the door overnight, do you think that it's difficult for kids to then have to sit down and spend all of this time to write an assignment or do an assignment?
I do. And I think that we, as parents especially, have to teach them things like you just said, checklists and to-do lists and how to manage time. And I know that may sound silly for a 9-year-old, but you can take it down to a 9-year-old level. And I've taught my own kids this. And I tend to stay away from all the digital scheduling kind of stuff. And I just get paper, pencil, and a clipboard. And I just teach them, okay, you've written down, you have 5 things you have to get done today. You've got to read for your reading journal. You've got to write out your spelling words. You've got to finish your math page. You have to unpack your backpack and unpack your lunch, whatever the 5 things are, let's say. We write those down and then we delegate time because you get home at 4 or 5, you've got, 3 or 4 hours, depending on what time you go to bed. And so you don't need to be working the whole time. And I don't want them to feel like they have to walk through the door and immediately start stuff. Let's take a pause in our day, breathe, go run around, play, have a snack. So I like to say, okay, it's really not that daunting of a task. These are simple things, but let's say from 3 to 3:30, we're going to do spelling and then we're going to come back around 4:45 to 5:15, do math. It's just little things like that. And some of my kids say, I want to come home and knock it out. I have one of my kids that likes to spread it all out and another kid that rather wait to the last minute, which is fine. But as long as we schedule it out, and I use that tactic in running my businesses. I mean, I can look at my list and be overwhelmed like that. But when I actually prioritize and schedule out my day, I'm like, well, I actually have more time than I thought because a lot of these tasks can be done, in a short amount of time, or if I block out time, it helps. So I think it's just a skill that a life skill they can use. And it's super helpful for them because they have a lot on their plate and their brains, because of the world, are just, like you said, made to move very quickly. I call them TikTok brains. I tell teachers, kids have TikTok brains. If you try to talk to them and stand up at the front of the room for an hour, you've lost them because TikTok's quick.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges that you faced when you were implementing this?
I mean, the biggest thing was, here I am, I'm 22 years old. I'm working with veteran teachers that have been teaching for 20, 30 years, and I'm coming in here with my own way of teaching. I'm not following, the reading curriculum that had the writing in it. I'm doing my own thing. And that first year I went from 38 to 95%. So of course my principal was super excited and, Lisa, this is great. And everyone's looking at me like, what is she even doing? Questioning what I'm doing. And then the second year I get a new group of students, I get 100% of them to pass, which had never been done before, which you would have thought was the greatest thing ever. But that's when the Department of Education investigated me.
Wait, so, what? Really?
Yeah. So I'm in this moment of, oh my gosh, we just did the unthinkable, super excited. And my principal's like, we're being investigated.
Because they thought you were cheating, or?
That's my assumption. There was never any details. But of course, to be honest, the first year it happened, because it happened twice, I thought, maybe they're just doing their job. We are at a low performing school. Our reading and math scores are in the 30s and 40s, and writing's at 100. But then the third year of me teaching, I get a new group of kids. I get 100% of them to pass again, get investigated again. This time it's on the news. There's news articles written about it. it's a big deal. And that was the moment that it clicked in my brain. This isn't about me. They actually think that these kids can't do this. And that's where my whole mind shift of this isn't going to happen under my watch and kind of what I didn't know my mission now, but my mission actually started that year because I thought, no. Every kid can be successful and I'm going to show you all they can. And so that's, you know, what kind of set it all up. So that was the hardest part for me was I was so young, creating my own thing, doing very well. The same time you're being judged and questioned and investigated and all these things are being thrown at you.
That is crazy of, hey, no, we don't think that you're doing something necessarily wrong. We just think that these kids aren't capable of getting these scores. And yeah, it's because typically they're not funded in the right way to have the right people come and invest in them. And now you show up and you're ready to go and invest and you're doing that. And wow, look what happens when you invest in children the right way. And they're like second guessing that. That just blows my mind, honestly.
It was crazy. I mean, again, I think because I was so young and so eager to start teaching, I was so excited. And I thought this would have been the greatest thing for these kids. I thought we would have, you know, had a big party. And so we didn't even get to do that because the joy of it was immediately shut down where you're being investigated. And at that time, I'm like, what is happening? Are the police coming? Am I being arrested? I don't even know what I did. Like, I just, you know, you're 22, you're investigated. And I'm like, I just doing my job the best I can. In the end, it ended up being one of the best things because it just showed everyone what she's doing is working and people are looking into it. So it must be something good. And it kind of set up my success for what happened 10 years later to start my business.
Yeah. Well, and also probably drove a certain amount of attention or media attention for you to then use that to amplify your message where, you know, when something has that conflict or questioning and it turns out to be nothing that should be conflicted or investigated or whatnot, it does at the end of the day benefit your message and getting it across. I've committed to only 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day to learn a new language with Babbel. As the world becomes more connected, understanding another language feels more like a necessity than a luxury. And for someone who's always on the go, Babbel has been a perfect fit for me. Imagine immersing yourself in a new culture all from the comfort of your home. Babbel, the science-backed language learning app, has made this possible for me and millions of others. With over 16 million subscriptions sold, it's clear I'm not the only one in this journey. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons designed by more than 200 language experts have started helping me speak a new language in just a couple of weeks. It's all about real conversations, real people, and real progress. Research supports Babbel's effectiveness with studies showing that 15 hours on Babbel equals a semester of college language classes. That's an impressive feat. And my 5 minutes has turned sometimes into 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, because it is so addicting. Now, for all of you dedicated listeners out here, I've got a special treat for you. Right now, you can get 50% off one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners. You can go to babbel.com/BBB. Get 50% off at babbel.com/BBB. Stop paying hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language and check out Babbel now. I'm curious how technology and the role of technology has impacted the way that you create your curriculum or execute that.
So I have a love-hate relationship.
I'm sure.
I think technology is great, but I also feel like every curriculum out there is now a digital program. Our teachers aren't even getting books anymore. I'm an educator at heart. I own my own school. I work in schools all the time. I want a book in my hand. I want to write notes all over my book. I want to put sticky notes on pages with notes. And teachers don't get to do that anymore. And a lot of them want to do that. And same thing when it comes to writing. Almost, I think out of the 50 states, I think 48 of them now are typing their test as low as third grade. They're required to type their essay. So now you're in the same year you're introducing the foundations of writing, you're also requiring them to learn how to type, which to me doesn't make sense. I think that should be later. But even when there's a test that's typed, I still encourage teachers, please spend the first 3 to 4 months paper and pencil, because you got to learn the skill of writing paper and pencil. So that's a hard one when the whole world's digital and everything in a teacher's, in a school is digital, to be told that. They always agree with me, but it takes them a second to go, yeah, you're right. We should be. And so I just feel like I'm that reminder, and I still, you know, you can see I have print books. I have a digital program, but I encourage every teacher. I'm like, you can get the digital. It's cheaper. Everything's online. You can print it out. But there's nothing like a good old book for a teacher.
Yeah.
And for, and the student paper pencil.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine whose son goes to the school called Alpha in Austin, Texas. It is completely through the tablet. Everything is through the tablet. It's like a gamification way of learning. They don't actually have teachers that are teaching anything. It's all through the tablet. And it's crazy because it's very hyped up to being this, like, we're going to create these next Elon Musk type of children. And I'm just like, and I, you know, I get that. I think that can work really well for a kid's personality, but there is something to be said about someone leading the curriculum, leading the classroom, getting the interaction between your classmates to interact and do something together and like connect.
Yeah.
And you lose that when you're focused on the digital world.
I agree. And those are skills we need in life. Yes. And we're slowly pushing them away, where relationships are important, group skills are important, you know, collaboratively working is important. And, you know, I agree. Something like that may be great for some high school courses. Some classes, you know, high schoolers are at that higher level. They might maybe want to take a business course, and that's online. But especially in these early ages, they need a teacher. They need to work together. There's so much that can happen in group learning that you can't do digitally. So yeah, there's some great things, but I'm a big paper pencil book kind of person, and almost every teacher I talk to agrees with me. And so I really push principals when they want to buy my program. Like, I know that digital, you know, it's cheaper. It's a license. I don't have to print anything. You know, these books cost, you know, $150 a kit to print. But, you know, I remind the principal, like, remember, you want the teacher to prepare for lessons, take notes, be ready for it, make notes about different student needs. Yeah. That can all be done in the book. So,
yeah. How do we balance that? Because technology is not going away. It's only going to get more. But how can we, or what's your approach between tech and traditional teaching?
I just think we have to use the resources, and there's just got to be some sort of balance, not a perfect balance, but I'll give you an example. In my writing curriculum, I sell books, but online, I do have the PDF of everything in the books, but I also have videos that you can play of me teaching the lesson. I have an animated version of cartoons teaching the lesson. I have PowerPoints. So that's a great way where you can have the books where the teacher has in her hand, but then for students that need something different, need a different face, different voice, you could play the video or you could show the PowerPoint. So I think there's a lot of good resources. I just don't think we need to go fully 100% non-digital or 100% digital. I think it's got to be a little of both in everything. I mean, I use a lot of technology, but I also, I'm going to show you, I've got a notebook of my to-do list. I'm a paper pencil to-do list, but I also have my calendar online attached to my email. So I think it's just, we have to remember to make sure there's a balance, and depending on the person too. And this is important when you're working with kids as a parent, your kid may not be the digital kid.
Yeah.
They may need more paper and pencil. We have to remember that. It's a lot when they come home and they've, my, you know, fourth grader, or now he's in sixth grade, when he's in fourth grade, he was jumping online every day to look at his work. He needed the checklist on paper and pencil. So I would help him rewrite it so he could check off, because like kind of what you said, what your kids do, there's something about it. Even my to-do list, I'm 40. When I check off, I feel accomplished.
Uh-huh. It's so true. It's not the same when you go to Google Keep and you like press it and it's like check. You're like, there's something satisfying about crossing it out.
It is true.
have you been, do you feel like you're pretty knowledgeable in like the AIs that are going on, like ChatGPT and things like that, or no?
I mean, not super knowledgeable. I've dived into a little bit. You know, everyone always asks, what's going to happen with writing? And I always say, listen, when you got teachers in the classroom, I'm not worried about AI.
Yeah.
Because you easily monitor that. And to be honest, sending writing home is not very effective anymore because writing has changed so much. A lot of parents, like our math and reading has changed a lot, can't really help because the way we teach writing, the way the state standards are always changing, things are different. And, you know, the first sentence of an essay, some people call a hook, some people call a grabber, some people call an opener, you know, you don't. So I'm real big on don't worry about sending homework home. And then doing, because they're always worried when they go home, they're going to use ChatGPT. Monitor in the classroom, teach paper and pencil. My approach to that is I think it's a great resource for ideas. Yeah. So I think, especially in high school, college, you want to type in, get some ideas. I think it's great. I've used it, typed in some ideas. And I take those and then create my own. But there's nothing worse than someone that copy and pastes something in an email. And I know the person. And I'm like, you do not sound like this or talk like this. You definitely use ChatGPT. So I know it can be, you know, fascinating for some people and they just want to dive into it. But just it's a resource. Just remember that.
Yeah, I love that in terms of incorporating it as maybe the starter or the ideas. My son was like really trying to figure out, like, he wants to do a podcast. And I'm like, let's go to ChatGPT and utilize it. Like, you say what you want it to be about, you say what you want to talk about, and then ChatGPT can just give you a bunch of ideas. And then you take that and then you build from it. But it just helps minimize that work for you to do all those things that you don't know. But yeah, I agree. And it's funny because sometimes we'll go to it and be like, okay, write me a funny story about blah, 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 blah. And I was like reading it and it's just so robotic. It's just interesting because I'm like, if a child or anyone handed that in to me, I'd be like, yeah.
Right. But it is, you know, a great, like you said, idea generator. It's the same thing as us going to Google, going to thesaurus, going to a dictionary, all those things we used to do. It's just bringing it all together. So sometimes if you're like, you know, I want to say this, like I was working on a invite to a fundraising gala we're doing for my nonprofit. And I was thinking about the wording and I went in and typed, you know, invitation to a fundraising gala to raise money for whatever. And it brought it up and it just gave me the words the same as I would go to a thesaurus or, you know, Google something. And I just took that and then made my own version. So
yeah,
it's a great source for kids.
Green Chef is not just about meals, it's about an experience, an adventure in every box, with options for every diet, keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or those just seeking balanced meals. Green Chef caters to every preference with ease, but what really sets them apart is their commitment to whole food for the whole body. We're talking about real, wholesome ingredients that fuel not just our physical health, but our overall well-being. Our family dinners have transformed with Green Chef's gut and brain health meal plan. Imagine dishes that are not only yummy, but also support your gut health and cognitive function. It's been pretty amazing seeing the whole family enjoy meals that are not just delicious, but scientifically designed to boost our health. So incorporating my kids into the cooking process has never been easier. Green Chef's step-by-step recipes are so user-friendly that my kids have become little chefs in their own right. They're learning about clean eating, organic ingredients, and the joy of cooking, all while creating lasting family memories in our kitchen. Green Chef is proudly part of the HelloFresh family, offering an even wider variety of meals. I love flipping between the two to enhance my dining experience. And guess what? You can do it too by going to greenchef.com/60BBB and use my code 60BBB to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/60BBB and use my code 60BBB for the number one meal kit for eating well.
So what have been the biggest changes? You said you've been doing this for 13 years-ish,
yeah,
maybe even more. How has it evolved? Like, what has it become from that first time you walked in at 22 to what it is now?
So, you know, I first started teaching almost 20 years ago. I've had my business for 13 years. So just the education world in general, the biggest thing is teachers have so much more on their plate and they're being thrown so many programs and required to do so much. So it's hard to come in as a new program. You know, like I always start all my trainings. I go into schools with my story because I want them to know that I'm in it with them. I'm an educator. And my job is to make your life easier. That's how I start everything. Cause I want them to know I'm not throwing up more at you to do, more on your plate. I'm actually taking off your plate. You don't have to lesson plan anymore. You don't have to create activities. You don't have to come up with tests. I put all that in the kits. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's hard. And in the last 3 years, it's harder. Our good teachers are leaving.
Yeah.
After COVID, where you just have substitutes, new teachers with no degrees, there's anyone to fill a classroom. We're putting more kids in a classroom. Used to be 15 to 20. Now we've got 25 to 30. And I just hope big changes start happening or we're going to have some problems because we have a lot of kids slipping through the cracks. And it's not the teacher's fault. It's too many kids, too many responsibilities. So in a sad way, it hasn't gotten any better. And I think there's a lot of talk about it. You know, teachers have been really good on like TikTok and Instagram talking about their struggles and challenges and wanting to continue to teach with these challenges. And I hope that it sparks some change in the future.
Yeah. And what happens if it doesn't? What do you think? You think public schools are just going to go under and a bunch of private schools are going to come up or?
You know, like me, I mean, I started a private school and I do mine completely different. I have 15 kids in a class tops. We take breaks every 40 minutes. We're big on projects and life skills. And so here's my thought about all of this. I think some kids are perfectly fine in a public school with a teacher that may be mediocre with 50 kids in a class. My two older teenagers, they have 50 kids in a class or at a very big high school. They are perfectly fine. I think it's your kids that aren't any less smart. Just the kids that need something different are going to end up going to private schools, which my third one's like that. He's at a private school. He needs a smaller environment. So I think that's really what's going to happen. We're going to see a lower amount of kids in public school because they need something different and the public school is not meeting their needs. And we're going to see more private schools. I mean, I live in Florida and private schools and charter schools just pop up every day.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think, you know, obviously public school will always be there. But our kids are going to need some different options because some kids just do better in a smaller learning environment. They need more breaks, things like that.
Yeah. Well, just even thinking about like the sensory overload that they're constantly having. And then if they're in a giant classroom of 30, it's just like this prolonged sensory overload from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. It's like, when does a child just get that outside play, quiet time? You know, you get 20 minutes for lunch, 20 minutes for recess. Like what? It's crazy.
I know. And I know people kind of laugh sometimes because I say, you know, at my high school, we take a break every 40 minutes. They go outside, they hang out, they can play around. Mm. We have basketball. And they look at me like, you have recess? And I'm like, kind of, they can do whatever they want. They can go take a mental break. They can play basketball. They can run around. They can go to the snack store, but they're taking a break. Exactly. They're decompressing because it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, think about us as adults. Like, do I want to sit from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. in meetings back to back to back? No, I don't. I need to take a break and I have to schedule those breaks to like have lunch, go outside, check the mail for the 10th time, even though I already brought it in the first time because I need to get up and walk around. And it really does make me sad to think that some kids don't have that capability where they're just told to sit, be quiet, do your work for 8 hours a day, which I'm like, I can't even do that.
I know. And we have to remember that. And yeah, I just hope there's some change because, you know, I'm in schools a lot and these teachers really love what they do. And, you know, you're a teacher because you love helping students and teaching. You're not in it for any other reason. And so to see them so many of them so frustrated and so down about the profession. It's sad, you know, but a lot of them are hanging in there. And that's why my favorite part about my job is going to schools and talking with teachers, because, you know, I know that my program is helping, and it's nice to hear like, oh, thank God that, you know, I don't have to do writing lessons, or thank God you created this for that. And it's just nice to know that I'm kind of alleviating a little bit and just talking with them and getting to know them. That's a special moment for me when I get to go around all the schools that I work with.
And what's next for you guys? Like, what are your plans for the next 5-10 years?
So my goal 5 years ago was to go from just being a Florida curriculum to taking over the country. And as of today, we're in 42 other states. And we have about 3 to 4 out just worldwide. We have other countries. So my goal really is, now, although I'm in 42 other states, I'm not in every school in every state. So I want to conquer all 50 states and then get into at least every county within the state, and then just go worldwide. I know that the curriculum can make a huge difference. I know it works. And whether you're preparing for a test or not, our kids need to know how to write. And I always go back to, you know, think about how many therapists for mental health talk about writing, journaling. I've talked to people that run prisons, and they want my program because they don't know how to write. There's a huge connection between your literacy level and people that are incarcerated. And to me, it's such a disservice not to show these kids how to get all these thoughts up here on paper in an organized way. And so for me, that's the mission behind it is, you can't, everyone always jumps to, how do we help kids? I stop at, what do we give teachers to help kids? So I stop back at, let's start with teachers having the right tools and resources. And then that's how you help kids. So that's, you know, the whole mission behind Top Score. And I just hope to keep spreading and spreading, which is why I do so much on social media. I share my story, and 90% of the schools that I connect with are through social media. So I appreciate everyone who comments and shares. And that's why I do it, because, you know, I've done all the marketing in the world. But that connection, that of sharing my story and building those relationships with teachers, I go back and forth on in DMs and emails with teachers, with just giving them free resources and support. And that turns into a relationship and hopefully, you know, something that I can help them in the future with the curriculum.
Yeah, I'm sure. And since we're on this topic, why don't you tell people where they can find you if they want to continue the conversation or have questions or want to look into the curriculum?
Yeah. So the easiest way to find me, where I'm always at and always messaging, is on Instagram, which my handle is at Lisa Column CEO. So my first and last name, then CEO. But my website for the curriculum, which has everything that schools need, teachers need, parents need, is topscorewriting.com. So those are the two main places to connect with me. And even on there, there's an email button. And if it goes to my team, they'll make sure it comes to me.
And something I ask everyone on the podcast is, if you could give listeners one piece of advice from today's episode, what would it be?
The piece of advice is, whatever is in your gut as your purpose or your mission, stick with it regardless of all the hurdles. Because if I let that investigation stop me, I would never be where I am. And I knew back then there was a reason that I got into this, and I stuck with it. And now I get to impact thousands of teachers and students. So whatever that is deep inside you that, you know, you think your mission or purpose, it could be big or small, just keep pushing forward. I mean, I'm 13 years in, and, you know, I now have all these states, but it took a long time. So patience is the key too.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for being with us. I really appreciate the conversation.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @badassbasicbitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.